This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I would say on Friday or Saturday, I'll be announcing the pick. Five women are being looked at and vetted very carefully. We'll make a decision probably Saturday, but Friday or Saturday.
The nominee is going to be supported by every Republican in the Judiciary Committee, and we've got the votes to confirm the judge, the justice on the floor of the Senate before the election, and that's what's coming.
Wow, winning.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I think there's some perception on the part of some writers and others that, gee, what happened with Merrick Garland was unfair.
Well, well, well. Look who decided to show up.
The idea that the Merrick Garland decision was unfair and therefore it has to be made up by doing something which also wouldn't make a lot of sense, which is saying to President Trump, you can't get your nominee either. That just doesn't follow for me.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America. One nation. Indivisible, under God, for real.
I learned the Pledge of Allegiance by setting it to the tune of Old MacDonald. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, with a woof woof here and a woof woof there.
Unchained and unstoppable.
It's estimated that 200 million people have died, probably by the time I finish this talk.
That's so high. Isn't that high? It seems so high.
200,000 deaths recorded as of today because of the coronavirus.
It's a miracle.
200 moms, dads, sons, daughters, grandparents who are no longer with us.
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
Listening to Joe Biden's speech, it's like a George Romero movie. You know, Dawn of the Living Dead. They're all coming back to life. From 200 million dead to 200,000 dead to 200 dead. Wow. Bolt the doors, somebody. Let's keep them out of this building.
Well, they have to come back to life if they're going to vote.
The Biden campaign is in fact, a zombie apocalypse. By his own words, he's bringing them back to life. One of the texters has a good point here. So AOC says the world is going to come to an end in a decade, and her big concern is who's going to be on the Supreme Court. You would think she would have bigger fish to fry, right? Her French bulldog puppy is not even going to be that old when the world ends. What the hell does it matter who's going to be on the Supreme Court? 844-500-4242-561 says, the best thing about this confirmation is no Jeff Flake. That's the best thing about life in general, isn't it? That no Jeff Flake will ever be crossing your path, your TV screen, your newspaper. You know, Jeff Flake he sleeps with the fishes politically. He's gone. 603, I have two mass relatives who recently fessed up that they voted for Trump in 2016 and will support him this year. That was a huge revelation. Then they told me the masks are a big control mechanism used by local governments. I about passed out. They're liberals and are sick of riots, BLM, China virus lies, impeachment, and fake news. Aren't we all? Aren't we all?
So I had a doctor's appointment yesterday morning, Howie, and I walked in. I had forgotten my mask here.
Yeah.
So I said, oh, I'll pull the old, I have a respiratory illness trick. That didn't go over too well. So they denied me entrance unless I put on a mask. I said, wait, you're going to deny me entrance to my medical appointment that you don't know what it's for when I've just told you I have a medical condition. It didn't make any sense. They made me put on a mask to go in.
Where'd you get the mask?
They had them at the door.
Well, why did they jump ugly with you? Why didn't they just hand you a mask?
They wanted to. I said, I can't wear it. I have a respiratory illness. See, once you put that out there, you can't go back. You can't say, oh, I'm cured. I'll take the mask.
See, I do have incipient emphysema. I can't put my hands on the document, though, right now. It was this place out on Route 9 where I got the thing done. And they said, and I saw those words, incipient emphysema. And you know what the first, this was pre-mask. The first thing that came to my mind was handicapped placard. I'm not going to have to walk anymore. Anywhere. I can park wherever the hell I damn well please. Those Pall Malls paid off, finally. All right, time now for the chump line.
Howie, is it just me, or does "burn it all down" sound like a really lame campaign slogan?
It sounds more than really lame. It sounds like about the worst campaign slogan I've ever seen.
Nice professional interview technique, Howie. Just talk right over Lara Trump about where your mother's from and where Jesse Els is from. Come on! Shut up! We want to hear her! You talk, Mo.
She was fascinated when I told about all the great politicians that came out of Monroe, one of whom actually won a few elections, Jesse Helms. The Democrats lost all their elections. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, inviting anyone who's bored to death of listening to nonstop fake news to warm up your vocal cords and join us this year in recording our first ever quarantine karaoke Matthews Carols. Details on our website, MatthewsBrothers.com.
Hi, Howie. Governor Patrick calling. Wow, so my predecessor is all over the road on confirming Supreme Court nominees. I guess Mitt Romney is as good at being a senator as you are at riding a bike. We're going to be fine.
All I ask of anybody in the world is, what have you done for me lately? And Mitt's done the right thing today, and if he can just stop from evolving, i.e. flip-flopping on what he said this morning, I'm okay with Mitt. And by the way, did you see he got immediately excoriated on Twitter? Someone said he votes with a cross. With a cross. So he's a Mormon. I don't think Mormons are really that into religious symbols like crosses, like for instance, Amy Coney Barrett's religion, the Roman Catholics. But hey, if you're in the member of the Twitter mob, all Christians look alike, right?
Hey, Howie. In Biden's defense, I felt like I wanted to die by the time he finished that talk. For real.
For real. What are the odds he comes out of the basement tomorrow? I'm thinking they're going to give him another day off.
Hey, give Joe a break. He was only off by 199,800,000+. Anyone can make a mistake like that.
I know. And then he corrected it down to 200, so he was off by 199,980. Or 800, something like that.
If President Trump had done his job right, the number of deaths in this country wouldn't have risen to 5,000 million billion hundred. Check the numbers. I mean it.
They got to keep him away from numbers. You know, he just can no longer be allowed to read any numbers. Tell him to just talk about Corn Pop and his first wife and the coal mines in Wales or Scranton or wherever he thinks he came from. No numbers.
Joe Biden fact check. 200 million people will die of the coronavirus. False. 400 million people will cast a ballot for Joe Biden. True.
Sadly, the now Wisconsin has said that a federal judge in Wisconsin has said that voting can continue indefinitely. But he warned people, I don't know if my cheat by mail plan will be approved by a higher court. So plan accordingly. So we now have three battleground states, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, where the Democrat judges are trying to put into effect plans to steal the election.
Hey, Dianne Feinstein, the dog is strong in you.
She said the dogma lives loudly in Amy Coney Barrett. That's a terrible thing that you just said about Dianne Feinstein. She's old enough to be your great-grandmother, sir. She's 87 years old.
Howie, I've gone over the Constitution line by line, and I still can't find where a deathbed wish stops the government from doing what it needs to do.
A deathbed wish by a specific person, too, who wasn't born for another, 150 years after the Constitution went into effect.
Howie, Governor LePage calling. So Ruth Bader Ginsburg's dying words were orders on how to fill her seat? Man, she felt like she owned that seat forever. What was she, a Kennedy?
I know. The Kennedys got some bad news this year that they didn't own that second Senate seat. That wasn't even Ted's. And now the Libs have discovered that they don't own Ruth Bader Ginsburg's seat.
Mary Jo's dying wish was that Ted would go to prison.
Okay, that gets my vote for Chump Line Message of the Day. But that's just me.
If we ever get Biden 20, it will be caused by a moon bat virus.
Yeah, this moon bat virus has been around for at least 4 years, and it seems to be getting even more extreme every year.
That was your last Chump Line message. Thank you for calling Howie Carr, you chump.
All right, that's it for the Chump Line today. The Chump Line is the recorded voicemail message service of the Howie Carr Show. You can call and leave a message anytime between the hours of 1 and 5 every weekday afternoon, 1 and 5 every weekday afternoon. If you would like, the number is 844-500-4242, 1-844-500-4242. Press 2 for the Chump Line. Leave your message. We may or may not play it at this time each weekday. If you didn't hear your message or you want to hear more Chump Line messages, you can go to Chopped Chumps. Those are the excess Chump Line messages that didn't make what you just heard. Chopped Chumps is posted every evening at 7 o'clock right after our regular show ends, and you can get Chopped Chumps wherever you get your Howie Carr Show podcast. The Chump Line is brought to you by Matthews Brothers, America's oldest window manufacturer, inviting anyone who's bored to death of listening to nonstop fake news to warm up your vocal cords and join us this year in recording our first ever quarantine karaoke, Matthew's Carols. Details on our website, matthewsbrothers.com.
If President Trump had done his job right, the number of deaths in this country wouldn't have risen to 5,000 million billion hundred. Check the numbers. I mean it.
617, Joe is starting to miss the debate scam today, starting to get sick. Someone says he's planning to be in Charlotte, North Carolina tomorrow, so we'll see. If he doesn't show up in Charlotte, I think we can assume that the scam is underway and that he's going to have to begin his two-week quarantine in the basement, which follows his six-month quarantine in the basement, which has been ongoing since March. I'm Howie Carr.
A nightmare to liberals everywhere. He's Howie Carr.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
Papa was a Rolling Stone. The Chump Line. Poll question, excuse me, I'm looking at the wrong side of the sheet. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Oxford Club. Start feeling secure about your life savings and investments today by watching Bill O'Reilly's Great American Wealth Project. Go to HowieCarrShow.com and click on the Bill O'Reilly banner. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
We're trying to find a new T-shirt for the website that people may soon be able to purchase, and we have two choices. Which do you like better? I'd take COVID-19 over Biden 20, or Trump 2020, 2024, 2028,
I'm going to go with I'd take COVID-19 over Biden 20.
That's at 51%, the Biden shirt. So it's neck and neck.
It's slightly not, pulled ahead.
Not V neck and neck.
No. All right. And you can go to HowieCarshow.com.
That's a T-shirt joke for anybody keeping score.
Oh, we get it.
V neck and neck.
We get it. Like cardigan sweater as opposed to pullover sweater. We get it. But if you want to look at the two T-shirts, you can go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store before you
Well,
vote.
They're not in the store yet.
No, they're not in the store, but we have
pictures.
We have pictures of them.
Not in the store.
Okay, not in the
store.
Just in the poll question. All right. But they're there on the poll question page. All right. 844-500-4242. Richard, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Howie, we need to cut Joe and Hunter a break. They thought Burisma was a foreign car company.
They thought they were getting their deliveries in a foreign car. I don't know. Where is Hunter, by the way? Where's Hunter, as Trump used to say at his rallies? Now he just says it sometimes in a nostalgic way. Where is Hunter? Are you in California, Richard?
Yes.
I thought he was...
Hunter's down with Ron Jeremy in jail right now.
Ron Jeremy. I wonder if they're going to drag out Ron Jeremy as a witness against whoever the Supreme Court nominee is. He would have as much credibility as Christine Blasey Ford or any of the others that they brought out against Brett Kavanaugh. Thanks for the call, Richard. It really is amazing, though, isn't it, that Hunter Biden is allowed to go to ground and nobody they're chasing around Mitch McConnell and Lindsey Graham, who are elected senators, and they're not allowed to do their job, but Hunter Biden can do whatever the hell he pleases, and he still owns apparently a piece of equity in that huge investment fund that was set up by the Red Chinese, according to Peter Schweizer, who we had on last week. Lee, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
Hunter's in the basement in the freezer. Hey, Howie, what if Joe is sick and he can't run? Who becomes the nominee? That's my question. I probably should know it, but I don't.
I don't think anybody really knows that, do they, Lee? I don't know what the protocol is if a nominee becomes incapacitated, because the ballots have all been printed now, you know, Lee? The ballots had to be printed by September 15th.
But if it's not settled by January, does Pelosi take over?
Well, I think the fact is if there's no winner in the Electoral College, because there's all these states are still out, which they're setting up that mechanism right now, and if the House of Representatives can't elect the president for whatever reason. Although you would think the House of Representatives could elect somebody, but maybe theoretically it could be tied, I guess. If there's no president selected by January 20th, the Speaker of the House becomes president. Would that be Nancy Pelosi, 80 years young, who answers question by saying good morning? I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Why do I like Florida Governor Ron DeSantis? Here's a headline today from the Gateway Pundit. DeSantis proposes laws with harsh penalties for rioters, including 6 months jail time for hitting a cop, cutting off welfare. Wow. Cutting off welfare. That'll get their attention. Okay. Here, I'm going to read you a quote and see if you can figure out who said this, given the current controversy over who should name the next justice of the U.S. Supreme Court. This is a direct quote. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say the president or the U.S. Senate should put aside their responsibilities because of politics or a presidential election. And we cannot let partisan bickering cripple the nation's highest court. Washington gridlock has already succeeded in largely immobilizing the legislative and executive branches of our federal government. To allow it to now paralyze the judicial branch in defiance of the U.S. Constitution would be a disservice to both parties and to the late justice's legacy. Now, that's a good guess, Obama. It was Andrew Cuomo after the death of Antonin Scalia on February 15, 2016, in the New York Daily News. All right. 844-500-4242. Jill Biden's first husband calls Joe a hypocrite for criticizing people's character after the Democrat had an affair with his wife and reveals he'll vote for Trump in November. There's a guy named Bill Stevenson, 72. He said about the, you know, the story they've been promoting for decades. Joe Biden says he met Jill on a blind date in 75. Bill Stevenson, the first husband, says that's untrue, and he introduced Joe and Jill in 1972. So this is the latest, and I guess he's going to be on one of the TV shows, Inside Edition or whatever they call it. Anyway, 844-500-4242. A federal judge extended Wisconsin's deadline for receiving mail-in ballots by 6 days, but warned voters not to depend on the extension, warning his given the likelihood his ruling would be appealed. Okay, so that's Wisconsin, a toss-up state. Then there was Michigan. Another day, another judge unilaterally revising election rules. Michigan law says absentee ballots are due by 8 p.m. on November 3rd. But last week, a state judge ordered officials to keep tallying ballots that arrive up to 14 days late, provided they bear a postmark of November 2nd or earlier. The lawsuit was brought by the Michigan Alliance of Retired Americans, with help from the progressive group Democracy Docket, which is a partner of the official Democrat apparatus in Washington. Judge Cynthia Stevens, the Democrat appointee who issued last week's preliminary injunction, wrote that she thought the ballot deadline could be kicked 2 weeks down the road with, quote, without imposing a meaningful inconvenience to the state. To the state's Democrats, because they give them 2 more weeks to steal the election. Michigan clerks are scheduled to begin mailing out blank ballots this week on September 24th. That's 40 days before November 3rd. How is this not enough time unless voters dawdle? It's true that Michiganders can still request an absentee ballot at 5 p.m. on October 30th, 4 days, including a Sunday before the election. That wasn't enough for Judge Stevens. Her injunction says that after 5 p.m. on October 30th, once clerks are no longer obligated to help, quote, a voter may select a third party of his or her choosing to render assistance in returning an absent voter ballot. Sounds like voter harvesting to me. So she's opening the doors to massive voter fraud, election fraud with voter harvesting, like they've been doing in California recently. This order, this is the Wall Street Journal, this order is only the latest in an alarming trend, including a Pennsylvania Supreme Court decision last week that bumped the ballot deadline to November 6th, including for those without a postmark. We're less than 45 days from the election, and the rules are being rewritten on the fly by judges who don't see any harm in delaying the results or haggling over late votes. The country might come to regret it. Yeah, so the judges know what they're doing. They're just they don't care. They don't care. It's to help get rid of Orange Man Bad. Meanwhile, 844-500-4242. Breaking Judicial Norms of History. This was a really good editorial by the Wall Street Journal yesterday about how the Democrats are saying that nothing is off the table if the Republicans go through with this confirmation. So what else is new, says the Wall Street Journal? Democrats have a long record of breaking procedural norms on judges, going back to the Bork assault on Robert Bork in 1987. Previous nominees who had failed in the Senate were suspected of corruption, like Abe Fortas, or thought unqualified, Harold Carswell. Bork was defeated because Ted Kennedy distorted his record. Thus began the modern era of hyper-politicized judicial nominations. Though for the Supreme Court, it has been largely a one-way partisan street. No Democrat nominee has been borked, to use the name that became a verb. Democrats have escalated to character assassination. Clarence Thomas was unfairly smeared on the eve of a Senate vote, barely confirmed. Democrats accused Sam Alito of racism and sexism for belonging decades earlier to an obscure Princeton alumni group. Democrats and crooked lawyers promoted the uncorroborated claims of women accusers against Brett Kavanaugh. Senator Sheldon Whitehouse undertook a deep dive into Justice Kavanaugh's high school yearbook. This treatment has become the real Democrat Party norm. And then they talk about filibustering appellate nominees. Miguel Estrada was left hanging for 28 months during the Bush administration before he withdrew, although he had the support from 55 senators. A 2001 Judiciary Committee memo to Senator Dick Durbin was candid in urging opposition to Mr. Estrada because, quote, he is Latino, unquote. He is Latino, unquote, and couldn't be allowed to reach the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals lest he later become a candidate for the Supreme Court. There's more on this. I'll read more as we go along. Early this morning, I was up in Nashua visiting Perfect Smiles. While waiting in the lobby, I noticed they had a big white box on a side table. I asked them what it was. They said it was their air purification system. Right away, they said, I wish we'd known about the Thunderstorm air purification system first before we bought it. Then they told me how much it had cost them, over $1,000. The Thunderstorm, on the other hand, is a small device you can hold in your hand and plug into your electrical outlet or into your car by USB cable to purify the air. And the great part of it is it's well under $100 with code word Howie. The Thunderstorm air purifier works like a real thunderstorm. It quietly sends out super oxygen and ions to kill odors in your room. We've been using it in our studio, and all the staff notices a big difference. It makes the room smell fresh just like it would outside after a thunderstorm. We've also put one in our office kitchen to wipe out smells from heating up food in the microwave. Many use it for pet smells. I never thought our office had a bad smell, but now when I open the door, it smells fresh just like after a thunderstorm. For pet, kitchen, musty basements, tobacco, or other unwanted odors, you need the Thunderstorm. You can buy 10 and still spend less money than on the one I saw at Perfect Smiles this morning. The Thunderstorm charges covers between 300 and 400 square feet. You don't need to change filters. Get one today at EdenPure.com. That's EdenPure.com. And don't forget code word Howie at checkout. I'm Howie Carr.
He's suave. He's debonair. He's Howie Carr.
This is Jeff in Woodstock, Connecticut.
This is Laura Benner in South Burlington, Vermont.
This is Jimmy Mack in Falmouth, Massachusetts. And this is The Howie Cash Show.
Indiana's talking, The Mike Pence Show.
It's The Mike Pence Show. That's his theme song from the old days back in Indiana. And joining us on the line is Vice President Mike Pence. Where are you, Mr. Vice President? You love that.
I don't know where you get this stuff, but it just tickles me. Howie, I'm in New Hampshire today. We just finished a great rally at Laconia Municipal Airport. Enthusiasm out here is palpable. I got to tell you, the folks are rallying in New Hampshire and rallying behind a president who New Hampshire was, it's first in the nation primary state, but they were the first to vote to see this this president's vision, his leadership and agenda. And after 4 years of promises made, promises kept, we think we're going to carry New Hampshire and deliver a great victory on November 3rd.
Mr. Vice President, whenever I get somebody on from the Trump campaign, I ask them about this. These judges in places like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, today Maine approved ranked choice voting, which is a terrible way to select any candidate as a victor. What is the Trump-Pence campaign doing about this? Are you appealing? Can you get these extensions mail fraud to take place thrown out?
Well, we're working on it. Howie, you know, the one person, one vote principle is at the center of our democracy. Nobody describes that better than you. And reality is we're seeing states around the country that are embracing universal, unsolicited mail-in ballots, as we see what's called vote harvesting being authorized in states around the country.
Right.
We've headed to courthouses around America to defend that principle. And it's actually one more reason why we need to fill that seat before Election Day, November the 3rd. The president's going to announce a strong, principled woman as our nominee to the Supreme Court. We welcome the fact that now a majority of members of the Senate, Republicans all, are willing to vote. And the president and I just really believe that in the event that there are issues and controversies in this election that rise to the level of the Supreme Court, the American people deserve to have nine justices on the court by Election Day. And we're going to be working literally around the clock after the president makes his decision. He'll make his announcement of his choice for the Supreme Court Saturday. We're going to be working around the clock with Republicans in the Senate to move that nomination forward and fill that seat before Election Day.
Do you think you'll need to cast a vote that it could be 50-50, or do you think it's not going to be a question?
Well, I'm certainly prepared to do that. I know the president has a number of great choices, principled, conservative women with extraordinary backgrounds. We're just very encouraged, with just a couple of exceptions among Republicans. There are now enough Republican senators stepping forward that as the president puts forward our nominee, as they see the caliber, quality, qualifications, and background of that extraordinary nominee, we have every confidence that we can secure a majority of votes in the Senate as they do their role of advising and consenting in the appointments to the Supreme Court. But we're gonna make our case, and I'm counting the days to when the president makes his decision and announces his choice for the Supreme Court to the American people this coming Saturday.
The president signed an executive order on health care today. Can you tell us about that? Oh, he's going to sign it today. He's going to sign it. Oh, and he's not going to sign it today. Excuse me. I'm sorry. Can you tell us about this executive order that's in the works? I'm sorry.
I sure can, Allie. And one of the promises of the last campaign was we were going to repeal and replace Obamacare. And as you remember, late at night, we came within one vote of doing that in the United States Senate. But all along the way, the president has been working using his executive authority. We've created, through the Department of Labor, new types of group insurance that have lowered the cost of health insurance for Americans. The president took strong executive action along the way to lower the cost of prescription drugs. We actually saw the average cost of prescription drugs decline for the first time in many years last year. And the president is preparing to take additional executive action because we want to lay out a framework to do two things. Number one, we want to make sure that Americans with pre-existing conditions know that this president, this administration, and Republicans in the Congress are going to defend those with pre-existing conditions to maintain their coverage and not be denied coverage. And the second piece is we want to lay out the president's ongoing vision for health care reform that lowers the cost of health insurance without growing the size of government. Look, I mean, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders and AOC, we know where they want to go. It's government command and control. It's ultimately driving us towards socialized medicine. They'll prop up the failed Obamacare as long as they can, but we all know where Bernie Sanders wants to go, and the radical left is driving all the policies in the Democratic Party today. And so we're going to lay out a vision. The president's going to take action to describe and to frame out our health care approach based on free market principles, and we will absolutely make it clear that that Americans with pre-existing conditions will be protected under this president and under Republican leadership.
Are you looking forward to debating Kamala Harris?
Yeah, I really am. You know, we've been doing a little bit of preparation for that as time permits. But what I'm looking forward to is not so much debating Joe Biden's running mate as taking the opportunity to make sure the American people know the stakes in this election have never been higher, but the choice has never been clearer. I mean, literally, you know, you have a president that's rebuilt our military, but we inherited from Vice President Joe Biden a military that had been hollowed out by reckless budget cuts. You have a president that's cut taxes, is preparing to cut taxes again. Joe Biden, in the middle of a global pandemic, wants to raise taxes by $4 trillion. You have a president that's appointed principled conservatives to our federal courts at every level. Joe Biden won't even publish a list of who he would draw from for the Supreme Court because we know that the Democrats will do what they've done before, and that is they'll appoint activist judges who will legislate from the bench. So what I'm looking forward to in that debate is really taking the opportunity to really lay out that choice and make sure the American people know that with this president, this vice president, we're going to keep driving America on a freedom agenda. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are going to drive America in the direction of the agenda of the radical left, and that's the choice that we'll face come election day.
You might have a lot more ammo if you get to debate her after the Judiciary Committee hearings in the Senate. I mean, she was pretty nasty to Brett Kavanaugh. She was pretty nasty to that man from Nebraska who was nominated, and she was asking about being a member of the Knights of Columbus. She apparently thinks the Knights of Columbus is is some kind of extremist organization.
Well, what we saw with Kamala Harris with our nominee in Nebraska was the kind of intolerance for religious liberty that we really grown accustomed to with the Democratic Party. I mean, remember it was Vice President Joe Biden in the last administration that hauled the Little Sisters of the Poor into court. It was President Trump that ended the legal assault on the Little Sisters of the Poor. The Supreme Court certified it about 6 months ago, Howie. But Joe Biden actually announced that he's already planning on reimposing those Obamacare mandates on those wonderful nuns. So, yeah, whether it's Joe Biden's record, whether it's Kamala Harris calling out a nominee to the federal court because he's a member of the Catholic Knights of Columbus, you see a level of intolerance on the left, and we don't have any doubt that not only Joe Biden's running mate, but the whole Judiciary Committee by the Democrats in the Senate are going to come hard at our nominee. But I promise we'll be ready.
We're out of time.
And we're going to confirm a new justice to the Supreme Court.
But I just want to ask you one last question. Joe Biden took the day off today. When are you taking your next day off, Mr. Mike Pence?
I'll let you know, Howie.
Yeah. Thank you. That's Vice President Mike Pence. I'm Howie Carr.